Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Monday, November 7th. The busiest day in the entire year for sporting events. I'm your host, Doug Reed. And as always, you can find me at Doug_Reed34 on Twitter. That's Doug_REID34 on Twitter. And as always, this is a Sports Ethos presentation. If you haven't checked us out already, I recommend you go to sportsethos.com. You can see our list of articles, podcasts, lots of free information there. Also, very, very reasonable subscription prices, whether you're into fantasy sports, fantasy basketball, fantasy football this time of year, or wagering. I'm part of the wagering group. You can get our wager pass for $9.99 a month, which is a steal for the amount of content you get in that. Our football team has been doing fantastic in the NFL. Starting up college basketball tonight, our NBA team has been doing reasonable. Baseball did well during the summer. So lots of content there, reasonably priced packages, but check us out at sportsethos.com. Before I get started, though, one of our partners here at Thrive Fantasy is someone I think you should check out, too. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app, or you go to Thrive, that's T-H-R-I-V-E, fantasy.com. When you sign up, use the code ETHOS, E-T-H-O-S, to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, or for your first deposit up to $100, plus 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Basically, pick the player props and the biggest names playing every night. Score points when those props hits, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize. And you can check out our DFS Sports Ethos DFS team for basketball as well. You can check out our DFS football podcast. Lots of information for daily fantasy sports, as well as wagering angles that can help you at Thrive. So if you haven't already, check out thrive.com, and when you sign up, use the code ETHOS to get a deposit match bonus. So let's get right into it. I said earlier it's the busiest night in sports, and that is because college basketball starts tonight, which is probably my favorite sport to wager on handicap throughout the year. I think I saw 199 games. I'm not sure if that's completely accurate. That might include a bunch of non-D1 schools. I know there's about 150 D1 teams playing tonight, 150 games involving D1 teams tonight. So, obviously, I'm not going to go into every game where we'd be here for about 6 hours. But I will hit on a few that I like and scroll through the board and some leans as well. But we're going to start off with the NFL tonight. And we've got Baltimore in New Orleans to play the Ravens. To play the Saints. Ravens come in at 5-3. They've won 2 straight, but they are banged up. Quite banged up, actually. Obviously, they're going to be relying on Lamar Jackson and his legs, which are going to have to get them through this game because Mark Andrews, their wide receiver, but their tight end's out. Rashad Bateman, their number one wide receiver right now, is out. And they are really struggling. They go into New Orleans to play the Saints, who are 3-5. The Saints are 2-3 at home. And they're a little bit beat up as well. However, they do have Alvin Kamara playing much better. And if anything, I would be looking to maybe a couple Kamara props. So the Ravens are favored by -1.5. I would be on the Ravens if I had to take a side here. I just think they're the better team. Even though they're beat up, they are the better team, more consistent. But hard for me to pick a side here. Total 46.5. I would look towards the under. You can get that, obviously, at -110. I would take the under. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I know both teams can put up points when healthy. The Ravens are, I think, a much better team. But they're not healthy. They're on the road. They're going to be running the ball a lot. And not really sure that either team could put up a ton of points tonight. So I would look at the under 46.5. Regarding the Kamara props, I saw a receiving of 41.5, a rushing of 62.5, and a receiving plus rushing of 110.5. I would probably lean to the receiving plus rushing of 110.5 over that, and then maybe the over 62.5 rushing yards. Because I just think if you're going to get that rushing prop, if you can get the 62.5, you could also get the 80 or 90 or over 100. He's hit that number three of his last four games. So his first four games of the year, he didn't play in two of them. And then the others, he only got, I'm just pulling out the stats here. He didn't have very many carries in the first. He had 9 in the first and 15 in the second. But the second game he played where he got 61 yards. Then he sat out week 4. And then week 5, 6, 7, and 8, he got 23 rushes for 103 yards, 19 rushes for 99, 11 rushes for 49, and 18 for 62. So he hit that number in two of the four and right on 62, the total 62.5 and another one. And then his receiving numbers in those games were 91 yards, 6 catches, 91 yards, 6 catches for 25 yards, 7 catches for 56, and 9 for 96. So he eclipsed a 41.5 rushing in three of those four games, receiving in three of those four games. So they're obviously throwing the ball to him more. He's got receptions of 6, 6, 7, and 9. So I'd expect him to get another 6 or 7 around there at least. I just think he can get to the rushing prop. He can get the 60 and he can get well through that. And with his receiving, he may get 6 or 7 targets. But does he get to the 42.5 or 41.5? I'm not completely sure. Baltimore does have a pretty strong D. So like I said, if anything, I would lean the over in the rushing total of 62.5 or the receptions plus rushing total of 110. So we'll jump into the NBA. Big slate in the NBA, which I find it odd, 15 games. So everybody in the NBA pretty almost is going. You think they'd lay off a little in the first night of NCAA, or frankly, you think the NCAA probably would have skipped tonight. You got Monday Night Football, which is always a huge TV night, and NBA full slate. You think they'd maybe slide into tomorrow. However, when we get to the college basketball, you'll see there's a lot of games that are kind of big teams against warm-up teams. So I guess they're not worried about any. There's definitely no marquee games that they're going to be worried about. But 7-10 in the East, we have the Washington Wizards in Charlotte to face the Hornets. The Hornets come in as 1.5-point favorites. Total here is 214. When I look at the injury log, LaMelo Ball is obviously still out. Gordon Hayward's out for Charlotte. Cody Martin is doubtful for the Wiz. Bradley Beal is out. I heard he's in health and safety protocol. So he's been out a few times in the last year. I shouldn't laugh at that, but a few times for COVID protocols. Hopefully he doesn't have it, but he seems to be sitting out a fair bit, either have it or exposure to it. So nonetheless, he is out, and that's about the only name on the Wizards. I'm not really sure which way to go here. Washington's been surprising me, but with Beal out of the lineup, I'd lean Charlotte, I think, as a short home favorite, only -1.5 at home. So I'd probably lean Charlotte, not really sure which way I'm going to go. This line has actually dropped. They were 2.5 earlier in the day, so money coming in on Washington. But I think I would go with Charlotte, to be honest with you. 7:15 in the East, we have the Houston Rockets in Orlando to face the Magic. The Magic are 5-point favorites, total here 224. Looking to the injury log for Houston, Jalen Green is probable. Kevin Porter Jr. is questionable. Jabari Smith is probable. And Jason Tate has continuing right ankle soreness. Came back for a few games, now he's back out. So he is out tonight. On the Magic side, Cole Anthony's out, Markelle Fultz is out, Gary Harris is out, and Mo Wagner is out. This is kind of Houston's been god-awful, and Orlando hasn't been a whole lot better. I would lean to the home Magic in this game, though. 224 total, can't really touch that. I would lean to the Magic. I think they're a slightly better team. Obviously, home court advantage. And with Jabari Smith out, and Porter questionable, Jalen Green, well, it says probable, but if he's out, definitely in the Magic. So game I'm not on, not really on a whole lot in the NBA today, but I would lean the Magic. Next game is in Detroit, 7:40 in the East. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder come in to face the Pistons, and OKC is actually a 2-point favorite, and just shows you how much the Pistons have been struggling. 223.5 is the total here. On the injury report for the Pistons, Marvin Bagley is out. Alec Burks is out. Jalen Duran says available, but has a left ankle sprain, so he's obviously banged up a little. And OKC has Pokuševski out, and other than that, they are Chet Holmgren's out, but he's been out all year. So other than that, they're fairly healthy. I can't really touch this game. Neither team's been doing much on the court. If anything, I guess I would lean probably to the home Pistons, but don't really have a whole lot of faith. When you look at OKC, they're doing better than I think people expected. They've lost two in a row, but they're 4-5, 1-3 in the road. The Pistons are 2-8 and 2-3 at home. They're giving up almost 119 points a game. And OKC is giving up about 112. So defense has obviously been an issue. I just think you're at home catching 2 points. I think the Pistons would probably be the play, but not going to be anything I'm going to be on. 7:45 in the East. We have New Orleans in Indiana to play the Pacers. You got the Pelicans on the road as -5 point favorites. Total here is 234. Obviously, a lot of points will be scored. Anytime the Pacers are playing, there's going to be a lot of points because they don't really believe in defense. And the Pelicans like to score. So, you look at the Pacers, also, I think, outperforming what people have thought. 4-5 in the year, 2-2 at home. But like I said, they're scoring almost 116 points, but they're giving up 117.6 per game, which is very weak. On the other side, you've got the Pelicans, who just pulling up their numbers, coming at 5-4 in the season, sitting in seventh in the West, 3-3 on the road. So you've got two teams that aren't really big on playing defense. A lot of points can be scored. And I'm actually on a prop in this game. I'm looking at a prop, and that's for Indy, Tyrese Haliburton. So they come in with a point total of 114.5, an implied point total of 114.5 for the Pacers. And Haliburton, I'm looking at his over points, rebound, and assist of 33.5. Or potentially in 19.5 points. I get that at -110. These points, rebound, assist was closer to -130. He's been scoring a lot. He's obviously their lead dog out there, so to speak. And in a game where I think there could be a lot of points, yeah, they're 5-point underdogs, but they are at home. I think he can definitely get to this mark. He's been averaging just over 19 points a game. And he's gotten to this. He's gotten to the points, rebounds, and assist prop of 33.5. He's hit that in 7 of his 9 games. His 19.5 point total prop, he's hit in 6 of 9. So, you know, I like the points, rebound, and assist because if the bucket isn't, if the ball isn't falling, he can at least make up for that elsewhere. It's priced a little steep at -130, so I might wait on that, see if I can get that a little better. But definitely like the Tyrese Haliburton over 33.5. I saw a 34.5 closer to 110. That might be a little more appealing. But if you can get anywhere around -115, 120, I would take the 33.5 for sure. Next game of the night is in Philly, where the Phoenix Suns comes in at 2.5 point favorites over the home 76ers. Total here is 214.5. So defensive battle, that should be expected. The Suns lead the West at 7-2, only 2 games in the road, 1-1. And the 76ers are struggling this year, to say the least. 4-6 in the season, 1-4 at home, which is shocking because it's usually a bit of an advantage being in Philly. Just trying to pull up their logs. One second here. All right, sorry about that. My computer was freezing there for a second only. The big thing here is for the 76ers, and Joel Embiid is listed as questionable in my most recent injury report. So I do like Phoenix. I took them at -2 earlier in the day, and with Embiid questionable, if he's out, I think this is going to go up to probably 3.5 or 4. But he's listed as questionable. James Harden obviously is out. On the Phoenix side, Cam Johnson's out. Cameron Payne is questionable. DeAndre Ayton is back, although he's not doing much now that he's back, but he's back. So I like the Suns, even at -2.5. I would take the Suns. I would probably take them up to 3. But before you take them -3, this game's at 8:10 in the East. I would wait to injury news and Embiid. If he is out or you hear he's out, jump on that as soon as you can, because it's probably going to go to 3.5, I would think, if not 4. If he's questionable, it might even come back down to -2, but I like the Suns. 76ers are just in a bit of disarray. Harden's out. If Embiid's out, they're going to throw out their B lineup, and I don't think they can keep up with the Suns. Next game, 8:15 East, we have the Milwaukee Bucks in Atlanta. The Bucks come in 4-point favorites to the Hawks. This should actually be, I think, probably the best, most competitive game of the night. Total here is 226.5. I'm not in this game. Giannis is expected to be back for Atlanta. Let me see. We've got Trae Young question mode, but I think he's expected to play. Giannis is probable. And that's about it. Well, Chris Middleton is out still. So if either one of those guys are out, I think this line moves a fair bit. I would lean the Bucks. They are coming in undefeated. Even though they're on the road, I would lean the Bucks here. If this gets up to 4.5 or above, I would probably switch that to Atlanta. And obviously, if Trae Young is out, this line's going to go up a few more points in favor of the Bucks. So if I had to lean, I would lean the Bucks at -4, total 226.5. I'd probably stay away from that. The Bucks are good. Both teams can score, obviously, and both Bucks can play defense. I'm not sure I want to touch that line. 8:40 in the East, we have the Portland Trail Blazers in Miami to play the Heat. The Heat are favored by 6, 217.5. The total, which is kind of what you expect in the Heat game with their solid defense. On the injury report, Tyler Herro is listed as questionable. Other than that, U7 and Oladipo are out, but not major factors. Josh Hart for Portland is probable. Damian Lillard is questionable. That's obviously a big factor, as is Anthony Simons. So if those guys are out, I think this line goes to probably 7.5 or 8 in favor of the Heat with them playing. I would lean the Heat. Don't really want to lay 6 points. The Heat have been playing well, but not great. They're obviously better at home. You can get the money line at -235. That's a little steep, but I might almost look at that just for kind of a cheap bet if you want some action on this game. I don't like laying 6 points the way the Heat are playing at home right now. So next game of that, 8:45 in the East, has the Raptors in Chicago to play the Bulls. And the home Bulls are 2.5-point favorites. These guys played in Toronto yesterday with the Raps pulling out a win and cover. Total here is 220.5, a little higher than I would have thought, but I guess in back-to-back, some tired legs, maybe you get some more late-game buckets. So for the Bulls, Lonzo Ball remains out. Drummond is doubtful. Zach LaVine is questionable. Kobe White is out for the Raptors. Pascal Siakam is out, as is Ken Burch. So if LaVine is back, I see this line probably moving even more. We're at -2.5 right now for the Bulls. I would lean the Bulls back-to-back. Raps won in Toronto. I think the Bulls will win in Chicago. One bucket game at -2.5. I would lean Chicago. Just because Siakam's back and LaVine, well, neither of them played yesterday, but with Siakam out, the Raptors struggle a little more. They run such a tight lineup with their starters play so much, and they just don't have a lot of faith in their bench, so someone's going to have to continue to replace him. And I think Chicago, especially with LaVine back in lineup, can win at home. They're always a tough out at home, so I would lean the Bulls in that game. At 9:10 in the East, we have the Celtics and the Grizzlies squaring off. Boston is 3.5-point favorites on the road. Total here, 231.5, which if you rewound this 12 months, I guarantee you that total probably would have been about 15 points lower. Neither of these teams are playing defense, which has been kind of not a hallmark, but it's a bit of a staple for Boston in recent years. Not anymore, apparently. They are fairly healthy, and on the Grizz side, you have Steven Adams questionable. And that's about it. Obviously, Danny Green and Jaren Jackson Jr. remain out. But that's pretty much the only injury. This game, I'm not really sure which way to go either. If anything, I would maybe look to a Desmond Bane over 19.5 points prop. He has hit this prop in, I think, his last four games now. He struggled out of the gate, but he's finally found his stroke. And at first, when you look against Boston, I wouldn't take anybody really on a scoring prop. But the way they've been playing defense makes me reconsider that. When I pull up defensive efficiencies, so offensive efficiency so far to date with the Hollinger team stats through ESPN, Boston is actually the number one team in offense efficiency. And Memphis is number 7, which means they're scoring, and they're scoring a lot. Flip that to defense and efficiency, and this is what shocks me. When you get down to the bottom, 30 teams in the league, Boston is number 22, and Memphis is number 23. Boston's number 22, and Memphis is actually tied with Washington for number 23 of 30. Memphis, yeah, I can see that. I would expect them, they're usually more mid-pack, but Boston is usually top echelon of the league defensively, and they're just not now. But they're scoring like crazy, as is Memphis. So, not really sure which way I want to go on this game. I think Boston's a better team. I don't like laying 3.5 points on the road, especially in Memphis. So maybe a Desmond Bain scoring prop. Like I said, over 19.5, it was around -110. I think you can get there. They've implied total in this game of about 113.5 for Memphis. So there's going to be some points. Not a crazy number for Memphis, but a decent number. And with him and Ja going, they're kind of their key scorers. So I could see him getting there. 9:15 in the East, we have the Knicks in Minnesota to play the T-Wolves. Timberwolves come in 2.5-point favorites. Total here, 235. I like the T-Wolves here. Knicks have been playing well. It's better than I thought they were going to. Come in 4-5. They're 1-3 on the road, averaging 114.5 points for giving up 116 a game. The T-Wolves are doing their usual, to me, inconsistent thing. 5-5 in the season, 4-3 at home. 114, just about 114.5 for 114 against. So I think they're, as long as Carl Anthony Towns is there, I think they're always going to be like this. Some games they look great. Some games they play the defense optional role. And you can see that with a total of 235 on the game. Maybe a Knicks team total here. I'm not sure which way to go. I like, you know, to me, this game's kind of a toss-up, but you favor, especially in the NBA, Minnesota's at home. So they get the three-point bump, but they're only getting 2.5 here. So, you know, I guess that's the market saying in the neutral court, the Knicks are probably about a half point better. I know it's not a standard three-point bump in the line. Every NBA home court, but I think it's kind of generally accepted it's around there. So I would lean the T-Wolves at home, but not really touching this game. Next game of the night has 9:40 in the East, has the Denver Nuggets in San Antonio. Nuggets come in 7.5-point favorite. Total here, 234.5. And just another game, I don't know which way to go here. San Antonio has really underperformed. Well, they've lost three in a row. They're five. They came out of the gates fairly quick and surprised me. With a few good wins early in the year. And then they've kind of flopped. Lost three in a row, 5-5 in the season, 2-3 at home. And you get Denver, 6-3 in the season, 2-3 away on the road. Denver scoring about 116 points a game, giving up about 114.5. And San Antonio, this is what really surprised me, not the 113, just over 113 scoring. They're giving up 121 points per game. And that is not a Greg Popovich defense at all. Again, when I look at the defensive efficiency per Hollinger stats, they are the second worst. Only the Detroit Pistons are worse than them. They're even worse than Indiana and Houston. So two teams who give up a lot of points. So Denver favored by 7.5 here. It's just on the road, though. I would definitely take Denver straight up. I'm not sure I want to lay that many points on the road. 234.5 is a big number, too. If anything, I would probably... As bad as I just said the Spurs are, I think I'd look to the under. I could see Denver getting up. And I don't think the Spurs have it in them to maybe come back in the fourth quarter, so rest Jokic and the starters and just coast to an easy victory and come in under that 234. So we've got four games left in the NBA. We're going to take a quick break, get back to those, and then we're going to hit the hard court in college ball.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, so let's continue along in the NBA. Next game, 9:45 in the East, with the Brooklyn Nets in Dallas to play the Mavericks. Mavericks, 6-point favorites. 216.5 is the total here. And I think we know all what's going on in New York with Brooklyn, with the Nets and the Kyrie Irving situation. So we won't touch on that, but out for the Nets, obviously Irving. Kessler Edwards is out. Ben Simmons is back, but probably be on a bit of a limits restriction. So I just don't like the Nets lineup they're trotting out there. I'd be on Dallas. -6, a little too high for me. If this were in the 4.5-5 range, I'd be more keen. It's just a hard lean for me right now. 216.5, can't really touch that either. Kyrie's in there. I think that's a fair bit higher. You just never know with Brooklyn, though. Are they going to get blown out and just mail it in and rest KD? Or is he going to go off and have a 35-40-point game and blow over this total? So anything, I would be on Dallas -6. 10-10 in the East. We have Sacramento and Golden State to face the Warriors. The Warriors come in 8-point favorites. Total here, 234.5. Out for the Warriors is Dante DiVincenzo and Iguodala, but he's been out, I think, all year. I'm not even sure if he's played. And I don't see anybody for Sacramento, which anybody at all actually on their list. So that's a good sign for them. Golden State struggled a little bit last week. I think it was. If anything, though, I've got to be on the Warriors. But with their limiting their starters, I could see them getting up and then just coasting and Sacramento getting a backdoor cover here. Sacramento's been decent this year. They've been sticking in games. And they come in 3-5 overall, but 2-2 on the road, won their last game. I don't think they give the Golden State a run here, but Golden State just seems to be, I mean, Golden State's only 3-7 overall, lost 5 straight. So they are struggling. Everybody's back. Everybody's healthy. We all know what they can do. So not going to touch the 8-point spread because they could win by 20. But what I was looking at was a Keegan Murray for Sacramento over 10.5 points total. He's been starting lately. He struggled the last couple of games, came under that, and I think he could easily get back to over that. And in this game where 234 points are expected to be scored, so Sacramento's got about a 113.5 point total. So they're going to put up points, and he can definitely be part of that. I'm just trying to pull up his stats here, his recent stats. I know when he was inserted into the starting lineup, he hit this number for a few games in a row, and then he's pulled off. So I think he can get back there. Yeah, when I look at – so the point total here is over 10.5. So he went 5 games in a row of hitting that, 19 points, 16 points, 18 points, 22 points, 12 points. So hit it quite easily. All games he played over 30 minutes. Over 32 minutes, actually. The last two, lost to Miami, played 27 minutes, 7 points. And then a couple nights ago, 24 points against Orlando. And he only had 3 points. So are they down on him? No. I just think he's a rookie. He's going to have that up and down trend to his season. And, you know, if Golden State gets up, I don't know that he's someone they put on the bench, and if he's shooting well, I think that was a problem in the last couple of games. His shot was off, so he got replaced and didn't quite get the minutes. I don't think that's Sacramento's philosophy going forward. They're going to give him as much time. They want to lose, and they want their kids to play. So I don't think if he has a bad shooting night or two, it's going to put him on the bench. So I could see him getting back in the flow and getting that over 10.5 points. Second last game of the night is in Utah, where the Lakers are in town. Both teams on a back-to-back. And the usual Cast of characters are on the list, the injury list. Anthony Davis, probable. LeBron is out. Dennis Schroeder's out. Lonnie Walker is out. Pat Beverly is out. And for Utah, Vanderbilt is questionable. Utah's been playing well. Beat the Clippers last night. 6.5. I would lean. I was leaning towards Utah at 6 a little while ago. Moved up to 6.5 literally in the last hour. So I think you probably don't want to go much above 7. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the way Anthony Davis is playing. LeBron can carry this team, but he's out. Westbrook's back in the starting rotation. So Utah minus 6.5. I'd be on minus 6. I'd definitely be on total 227, not going to touch the total. Last game of the night is in LA, where the Clippers play the Cleveland Cavaliers, both teams on a back-to-back. And we have Cleveland coming in 4.5 point. Favorite total here is 213. You have for Cleveland, pretty healthy lineup. Everybody in. For the Clippers, Reggie Jackson's out. And Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard are questionable. Kawhi is obviously out. John Wall is out. So Paul George is in, which is a big thing. And I like Cleveland, the way they're playing. You know, they beat the Lakers yesterday, but the Clippers are, I believe, much better than the Lakers, although they've been fairly inconsistent, to say the least, this season. I do like, when I look at the Clippers, 5-5 overall, shockingly just 1-3 at home, which is kind of strange, I find that. But Cleveland has been playing well. Darius Garland is back. They're 8-1 overall, 4-1 on the road. They've won 8 straight. Do they keep that rolling tonight? I don't know. Probably. I just think laying 4.5 against Paul George is a little bit much. If I had to, I would try and wait. This game starts 10:40 in the East. I'd try and wait and see if you can get it down to maybe 4. Probably not going to get there, so probably a stay away from me, but I would lean the Cavs. But not exactly sure I want to jump on this line. So that is the NBA. Now we cruise to, and like I said before, we're not going to hit all 199-odd games in college basketball. But this fella is very excited for what's coming down the pipe. First day of the season, ton of games, ton of interesting games, ton of lineups I can't wait to see. I just want to see what they look like, what they do, even if they're playing against well inferior competition. First game out of the chute. I missed the Gonzaga game. They were 40.4. I think they closed 44-point favorites. They were 40 most of the day and got up to 44, and they covered that action. Not Gonzaga, I'm sorry, Baylor, and they covered that. So if you're on that, congrats to you. First game, 6:30 in the East. LaSalle is at Villanova. Villanova's 15-point favorite. Total here, 136.5. And the story with LaSalle is predicted to be number 15 of 15 teams by most publications in the Atlantic 10. Atlantic 10 is a very competitive division. LaSalle has struggled for a number of years. Fired their coach, brought in 73-year-old Fran Dumfries, fantastic coach. Not sure that at that age it's going to be one. I don't know. I have a hard time wondering how you connect with young kids these days at that age. But that's not the side I'm on for this game. It's just Villanova. They've replaced, obviously, Jay Wright. Hall of Fame coach Jay Wright with Kyle Neptune. Now, Kyle Neptune was an assistant for 8 years under Jay Wright at Villanova, then left to be a head coach at Fordham last year, came back. So he knows the system. They've lost Colin Gillespie. They've lost some players, but they've also kept a lot on board. And if you know Villanova, it's very much about the culture. So I don't think they really lose a lot. Most publications have them to come first or second. Most experts have them first or second in the Big East. So there still should be a powerhouse. They've got a few injuries. Justin Moore is injured, who is a key part of their team. So they are not going to – it's going to be interesting to watch them because they're not going to be firing in all cylinders for a couple months, I don't think. So they've got a hell of a schedule coming up, a couple of big tournaments. And I think they could have a weaker record than most people predict, and they'll be like, yep, Jay Wright's gone. Kyle Neptune's not the guy, yada, yada, yada. That ain't going to be the case. I think come January, February, when they're healthy, watch their lineup, watch how they play, and I think they could be right back fighting for a number one or two seed in the tournament, which means they're top 6 to 8 teams in the country. I think they're that good still. So to beat LaSalle by 15, I'm on that. So I'm on Villanova minus 15. 136.5. I'm also on the under. One of Jay Wright's trademarks was great defensive teams that play slow. Villanova always played slow. So I don't know if that's going to be Kyle Neptune's MO going forward, but it's going to be, I think, his MO to start the season. A, they're a little banged up, and B, his returning players all know that system. So I think they're going to play slow. LaSalle is not a great offensive team. I could see this being an easy Nova win in a low-scoring game. So I'm on Villanova minus 15, and I am also on under 137.5. I think I said 136.5. I got it earlier today, 137.5. So anywhere around 137, 136.5, I'm on the under Villanova. Next game, 6:30 in the East. Purdue-Fort Wayne travels just up the road to Michigan to face the Wolverines. Michigan comes in 15.5-point favorites, 152 exactly the total. I'm on the Wolverines. A lot of publications, a lot of people have these guys in the top 20 and winning potentially the Big Ten. I don't know that they win the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten's a dogfight between three or four teams, but they're one of them. And they got as good a chance. I know Juwan Howard's kids there going to be starting. This is what I mean. I want to see this team play. I want to see what they can do. Their big man's coming back from last year. So Purdue Fort Wayne, I don't think we'll match up. Maybe keep it close early. I think Michigan pulls away. And first game at home, I don't think they're going to be one to take their foot off the gas against the local rival. So I've got the Wolverines minus 15.5, and I think they win this by closer to 18, 20 points. Strolling down, as I said, I'm not going to touch on every game. Kent State is at Northern Kentucky. Kent State was at plus one now. I saw them about plus 1.5, plus two yesterday, actually. Total here, 137.5. I actually like Kent State. I'm not on this game. Money line, you can get a minus 105, so almost even money. If you could ever get that at plus 100, I'd probably be jumping on Kent State. I think it's going to be an interesting game. Very few games are 1-point spreads, 2 or even 3-point spreads today. But I think Kent State could win on the road here. Interesting start to the season. 7 o'clock, we have Manhattan at VCU. VCU comes in 22.5-point favorites. And I glossed over this game until I did a little bit more research. And here's the angle here. I'm not really that backing VCU. Manhattan fired their coach about 2 weeks ago. His assistant coach comes in to take over. And he's parted ways with the team in the last few days. They've had a few players transfer out. So, this game probably would have been a 15-point spread to begin with anyways. But you can't have your coach. You can't fire a coach 2 weeks before the season starts, have another guy come in who's the assistant, and then have him leave, have players on the team leave, and expect to perform at all against a decent team like VCU. So I'm looking at it. I'm not there yet. But if you want to take a flyer, VCU is probably not a bad play at 22.5 points. This could be a complete bloodbath. Again, regularly I wouldn't expect that. Manhattan's not a great team. VCU isn't a dominant team, but when you've got that kind of disarray, these kids won't even know what they're doing on the floor. I can see VCU coming out here and winning by 30. So food for thought. I'm not on it, but food for thought. Scrolling down, I've got Pennsylvania, 7 o'clock, Pennsylvania at Iona. And I'm actually on Iona minus 6. It jumped to minus 6.5. I'd still be on Iona here, total of 148.5. So Rick Pitino coaches Iona. The veteran Rick Pitino. 6 players returning, but 3 of them are starters. And he's got 6 new players, but 5 freshmen. And he does have an incredible defensive player, Nelly Jr. Joseph, 6'9 junior. He was the MAAC All-Star, first team All-Star last year. And he's not even the best defensive player in their team. So they play a strong, hard game. Play well defensively. Obviously, Rick Pitino is a very good coach. Like him or dislike him for what he's done in the past, the guy can coach. And he's probably at a level below his coaching with Iona, but he does a good job there. And Penn's an interesting team. They're expected to be number one in the Ivy League. They're usually the best team in the Ivy League. But they went 12-16 last year. I think the Ivy League didn't play during COVID. They came back. They had an odd year. Not an odd year, but they didn't really excel the non-conference games. So I think the Ivy League's down a little these days. And he returns most of his rotation, but I just don't think they're up to the level of Iona, who's going to contend for a MAAC title. And I think early in the year, they're going to be a little more tight. They're going to returning most of their players, most of their production, both teams, but I just think Iona is stronger. So at minus six, which I got them earlier, even minus six and a half, I'd be on Iona here. I am on Iona. Robert Morris travels to Ohio State, and they are 20-point underdogs, total here 137.5. I'd actually be on old Bobby Moe here. 20-point favorites. Ohio State's a better team, for sure. They're going to be a very good – I don't think they're contending for the Big Ten title, but they're going to be in a lot of games. They're going to have some big upset wins, I think, when conference play gets going. I just think that they're going to be looking past Robert Morris. Like a lot of these big spreads, I don't think Robert Morris is terrible. They had a lot of turnover last year. A lot of chaos during the season. I think that's settled down. And I think you'll see a team that has kind of nothing to lose going full speed and probably keep it close with the Buckeyes. They won't win, but I could see them keeping it within 15 points. Next game, 7 in the East. I think this is one of the better games in the slate. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, head into Akron to play the Zips. And I was this is probably the first game I was on when I was breaking down this slate. And not something that probably most people would look to, but Akron 3.5-point favorite. I'm on 143.5 total. I'm on actually Akron at minus 3.5. And the reason being, San Diego State is a fun team to watch. I mean, they are aptly named Jackrabbits because they run. They play incredibly fast. That whole Summit Conference, if you want to see fast, defenseless basketball, check out that conference. They all shoot threes. They all have great shooting numbers. They all have terrible defense numbers against three-point shots. So San Diego, South Dakota State won the conference regular season, won the tournament the last couple years. Everybody expects them to walk through and probably do the same this year. And the same way they did it before, by shooting a ton of threes and playing really fast. They returned 6 of their 9 players from last year's roster. And everybody thinks, well, that's great. And these guys, and they all have fairly good 3-point shooting percentages. The problem is the 3 they don't return represented 48% of their scoring last year, including their best player, Baylor Shireman, who transferred out. And that was a huge loss. He was a fantastic best player in the Summit League last year, definitely. And he's going to have I think he's in Creighton now, a heck of a year this year, but they don't have him. So yeah, they got a lot of guys who have shot decent from three, but when your big guns aren't there anymore, including that kind of stud, I think you're going to take a step back, and I just don't see them being as strong as they'll be strong in the Summit. But I remember digging deep last year into some of the numbers in the Summit. Some of these teams have great 3-point shooting percentages against other teams in the Summit. When you took them out of conference, their numbers weren't quite – their numbers were good, but they weren't as strong. Akron, on the other hand, most people have them top two or three in the MAC. And they go 4 deep at guard, so they have run a very deep. They have the ability to rotate a lot of players. They have the ability to go small. I'm not going to have to go big against South Dakota tonight. Ability to run a lot of plays, run a small lineup who can generate some offense and also defend. And they transfer in Trendon Hankerson, I think it is, from Northern Illinois, which is odd, another guy from the MAC, but they transferred him in. And he was a 3-year starter there. So they just got deeper. They had a deep rotation to start. They just got deeper. I just think they're a better team. They play in the MAC, which is a better conference than the Summit, returning a lot of their players who were key contributors to their team last year. So laying 3.5 points, I'm on the Zips over South Dakota State. This is going to be a fun one to watch, though. A bit of contrasting styles. Total 143.5. I was leaning towards the under because I think Akron can slow them down. But if I'm wrong, this thing could end up at 170, so I stayed away from the total. Scrolling down, we have Tennessee Tech catching 36 points at Tennessee. A lot of people really high on the Volunteers this year. Rick Barnes is a good coach, but it comes down to what it's always come down to with him. He's got to prove it. He's had some struggles in the tournament, and that's a knock on him. I kind of feel bad because everybody dumps on him because he hasn't won in the tournament, though he's had good regular seasons. But that's irrelevant tonight. Laying 36 points is a few too many for me. If anything, in an in-school, you know, this would be Tennessee Tech Super Bowl. They'll be as up for this as they are up for any game during the year. So laying 36 points is a little much for me. A definite stay away. Scrolling down, trying to find the next game that I was on here. Some interesting ones. Ohio and Belmont. Belmont now Transfer out of the Missouri Valley. This should be a good game. I actually like Ohio. They're plus six. Total here is 145. I would be on the Bobcats. I think Belmont's going to have to prove that they are as good as they've been the last few years in the new conference. Texas State comes in 12.5-point favorite or underdogs at Washington State. Total here 135.5. I kind of like Wazoo here. I know a lot of people are talking up Texas State. I just think Wazoo has a depth and they're going to be a little bit better and have been there before, so to speak. Scrolling down the board, lots of interesting games. Memphis and Vanderbilt, 8 o'clock. Penny Hardaway's Memphis Tigers, 2-point favorites on the road at Vandy, 139.5. This line has moved. It was minus one earlier. And I would take Memphis. I know I see a lot of people talking about Vandy. I know Memphis has lost a few key players.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
But I think the knock on Penny of being a bad coach went away when the second half of the year rolled around. They did fairly well last season. And I actually liked them a bit of the dark horse in the tournament. They let me down. They only got, I think, two rounds, maybe three. But I like Memphis, and I like what he's doing there. And at 2-point favorites, I like them. On the road, a little tough, but I don't know that Vandy at this time of the year is a tough place to play. So I take Memphis at minus two on the road there. Kansas opens as a 33.5-point favorite over Nebraska Omaha. My analysis on this is, quite simple. No comment. This will be a blowout. Kansas can run the score up. It's Bill Self in his – oh, wait. Bill Self isn't playing. This is his – he's got a four-game self-imposed ban. Go figure, he misses Nebraska Omaha. So regardless, they'll win. They should win easy. Arkansas, 22.5-point favorite over North Dakota State. Total here, 142. Arkansas, as they always do under Musselman, have a full new – not a full – a huge transfer portal roster. I actually wonder if North Dakota State is the play here. I think they are at 22.5. Arkansas is a way better team. If this game were played in 3 months from now, the spread would probably be 30 points. But who knows what they have. And a few practices and a couple of pseudo-exhibition games under their belt. I think you look towards North Dakota State. Houston, who a lot of people think is a top four team and number one seed in the tournament, 23.5-point favorites, hosting Northern Colorado. Total is 140. I would actually, if anything, look to the under 140. Houston is a very good defensive team traditionally. And at a big spread like this, they get up early. They'll lock things down. Sure, their starters will be on the bench. But I don't think you will be on the floor if you can't play defense at Houston this year. So Northern Colorado, no matter who they're facing, going to be challenged to score. I would look to Houston minus 23.5. They're just that good. And I would look to the under 140. Scrolling down the board more, we get Florida 26.5-point favorite over Stony Brook. Total here, 143.5. Not really sure I back the Gators here. That's a huge number. Stony Brook is not a great team, but Florida has got a few guys coming in as well. Bit of transition there. I would look to Stony Brook plus 26.5, but definitely not a game I'm on. There's just so many games here and so many, I think, interesting plays. And as we go down a little further, 9 o'clock in the East. Eastern Illinois is in Illinois to face the Illini. The Illini come in as 31.5-point favorite, total here 134. I'm actually on Eastern Illinois. Illinois Illini have some – Cole Cockburn is out. Got some new faces in the line. Big transfer in. And I think they're going to be a good team. A lot of people pick them to win the Big Ten or at least be in contention this year. Not sure I'm going to get there yet, even as an Illini fan. But laying 31.5 points with a new roster with a lot of moving parts is not something I want to do. I also think if they do get up, which they should get up, they're going to see who they have there. They're going to start moving guys around. So I'm on Eastern Illinois at plus 31.5. Scrolling down even further here, I'm trying to find the next game that I'm on. Some interesting games moving to the west. Oral Roberts finds himself plus 9 at St. Mary's. 141.5 is the total here. I'm not there yet, but I'm actually leaning towards Oral Roberts. St. Mary's has had a bunch of turnover, kind of underperforming. You know, it's always them and Gonzaga, and then who are they playing after that? I always wonder. Oral Roberts did well last year and came on late in the year. I think this program's moving in the right direction. I think 9 points is a few too many to lay. It's just, if this were another half a point or point, I'd be on Oral Roberts, but right now I'm just going to watch it for the time being. A couple other games I'm looking at late is, I missed this one, 9 in the East. Gonzaga is 29.5-point favorites over North Florida, 159.5 is the total. I took the Zags. 29.5 points is a huge number, but Gonzaga, when they blow teams out, they blow them out of the gym. And it tends to be their MO at the start of the year. They just thump teams and thump them easy. So I'm on them minus 20.5 or even minus 30. I'm on them. Second last game of the night has Sacramento State and UCLA. UCLA is 25-point favorite. 135 is the total. I would lean to the under. And I was looking at UCLA, but I just don't know that they're going to be putting the screws to anybody by that much. They're going to get up. They're going to want to see what they have. They're just one of those teams that, you know, they're not like Gonzaga. When Gonzaga gets up, they blow you out by 30, 40, 50 points. Kansas can do that. Kentucky can do that. Duke will do that. I just don't know that UCLA does it. Do they have the ability? Sure they do, but that's not kind of what they've done in the past. So 25 points, that's a little tough. Not sure I'm going to go that deep. So that's kind of my take on the board tonight. Like Gonzaga, looking at Oral Roberts, like Eastern Illinois, like Iona minus 6, Akron minus 3.5, Duke minus 16, Michigan minus 15.5, Villanova minus 15, and Villanova under 137.5. So number of plays there, a couple plays in the NBA, some leans in the NFL. Quickly to hit the ice in the NHL, just 3 games. Calgary is in New York to face the Islanders. You can get the Flames at minus 125, the Islanders at plus 105. Total here is 6. I would lean Calgary, even on the road, minus 125 is a pretty reasonable price. Next game is St. Louis and Boston to play the Bruins. You can get the home Bruins at minus 200, St. Louis at plus 170. Total here is 6.5. Juice to the under at minus 125. St. Louis has been giving up a lot of shots and a lot of goals. I don't know if I'd go that up. Maybe look to a Bruins goal total, which you're going to get at, what, 3.5 there? Maybe 4. I like Boston. Minus 200 is a big number to lay, but I like Boston fairly easily in this game. And I just don't know. Well, maybe look through this. Over 6.5 is plus 105. That's a pretty juicy number. Not sure I can get there if you want to take a bit of a chance. So I look through the Bruins at minus 200. Next game, the last game of the night is Oilers are in Washington. The Oilers minus 165 favorites. The home Washington Capitals plus 145. Total here, 6.5. Juice to the under, minus 115. The way the Oilers are playing and rolling, I like the Oilers. I don't like going against Washington, but they haven't been as strong this year. I think they'll pick it up and they'll get things going. So I would lean the Oilers at minus 165. Again, pretty big number. This is always a challenge with hockey. I like the Flames at 125. I think that's a reasonable number. But the Bruins I like a lot, minus 200. And the Oilers I kind of like, minus 165. Hard to get there. And those goal totals I'm not sure either. The Edmonton-Washington over 6.5 minus 105, I think that's probably a pretty decent price. Washington, we know, can score with Ovechkin, and the Oilers can score as much as anybody in the NHL can score. So probably a pretty decent price there. At minus 105, they got to get to 7 goals, but if anybody can, these two teams certainly can. So if this wasn't a busy night in sports, I don't know what is. This is one of the longest podcasts I've done for a while, so if you're still sticking around, I appreciate it. Before I go, though, I do want to remind you of one of the partners we have here at Sports Ethos is Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, and when you check out, use the code HOOPBALL20, that's HOOPBALL20, get 20% off your order and free shipping. And as I said earlier, check out Thrive Fantasy. And if you haven't already, go to sportsethos.com, find out all our information there. Hope you have a good night on the busiest night of the year in sports. Hope you have some plays. Hope you make some money. And we'll chat with you tomorrow.